from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Singled up on the outside to the left here. Wentz for the end zone. Oh, a touchdown! Jahan Dotson! Third down, 8. Big test for the young Jacksonville defense. They do bring extra pressure, and Wentz is protected for the end zone. And Dotson, he holds it in! It's a touchdown, Commanders!
That was Jahan Dotson's first game, and it was probably one of his best games. It was his only 2-touchdown reception game of his brief career here in Washington. And that last one came with a minute 46 left in the 2022 season opener against Jacksonville for the win that day. Remember that game? That was the first ever game also as the Commanders. Good morning, everybody. On that day, he looked like the real deal. It never got a lot better. The reaction to the trading of Jahan Dotson yesterday was all over the place. It was passionate, for sure, regardless of which side you were on. I don't think anybody would say that it was a shocker. Something just didn't click and wasn't clicking between Dotson and the new coaching staff. And they clearly had no issue in moving on from him, given that they traded him within the division. This from my guy, Seth. It seems to me, Kevin, that they knew he wasn't a part of their plan. Why didn't they trade him earlier before it became, as you called it, a situation in training camp? If they had interest in Ayuk around draft time, they could have thrown him into the deal. A first-round pick from 2 years ago, and all they got back was a third-rounder. Thank you, Seth. That was part of the reaction even on the show yesterday. I think my first reaction was, I think they did pretty well. I thought, essentially netting it out a third-round pick was pretty good for a guy who really had not produced as a first-round pick 2 years ago. The team clearly wanted to move him because he was not in their top three. And he was a guy that they, for whatever reason, and I think there's probably a lot of reasons, and they're more, dealing with personality than actual talent. They didn't want him as a part of the wide receiver room. To get a third back was pretty good. Denton, after the show, I was actually looking for, one of those, you know, ESPN or CBS Sports or NFL.com grading of the trade, you know, stories. And ESPN had one yesterday afternoon, late yesterday afternoon, Seth Walder and Ben Solak. We had Ben on the show about a week and a half ago. They basically gave Washington an A- and Philadelphia a B- on the trade, and they wrote, "This is a nice trade for the Commanders. It's soured a bit by a wasted first-round pick. It's never good when the number 16 overall pick gets traded away two seasons later for a middle-round selection, but Washington was clearly moving on from Dotson, who was losing snaps in its wide receiver rotation, to get a third-round selection from Philadelphia for a player who is not a big part of your future plans is objectively a win." I would also just throw this in there, you know, because we have memories of being fleeced by Philadelphia. The most notable, of course, was the Donovan McNabb trade, where anybody that was paying attention to the NFL at that point knew that Andy Reid wouldn't trade Donovan McNabb within the division if he felt Donovan McNabb had a lot left. But, you know, Dopey, our owner, and the, you know, the quasi-administrative GM, Bruce, you know, they didn't think of things that way. And I wonder whether or not Philadelphia is a little bit too high on itself right now with Howie Roseman, thinking that everything that Howie Roseman does works, which isn't true, but most of what he's done over the last decade has worked. I wonder if there's anybody in Philadelphia wondering why Adam Peters would trade a receiver who was a first-round pick 2 years ago within the division for a third-round pick. Look, it's very possible that even Adam Peters and Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury believe that Jahan Dotson's got a lot of talent and it might end up flourishing. He might end up flourishing somewhere else. But they didn't feel it was going to work here with what they wanted from their wide receivers, from what they want from their wide receiver room, which actually Cliff Kingsbury talked about yesterday, and we'll play some of what Cliff Kingsbury said yesterday, including a pretty interesting comment he made about Kaz Allen. You'll hear that coming up shortly. But it's very possible, you know, lots of times when teams trade players, they think there's a chance that player in a completely different environment can thrive, but not in their environment. Whether it's from, you know, a personality mix standpoint or a scheme fit, and that's okay. You know, if it's not going to work for you, you don't think it'll ever work for you, well, you move on, and you move on at the best price that you can move on from. Nikki Javala, among others, reported yesterday that there were multiple teams interested in Jahan. So you would have to think that Philadelphia's price was the best offered, because you're not going to trade him within the division unless that price is the best price. You know, getting the third rounder and the 2 7th rounders back from Philadelphia for Jahan and a fifth rounder. I think they did fine with the trade. And, at the same time, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Jahan Dotson can't have a resurrection of his very early brief career in Philadelphia with a different coordinator, with a different locker room, with a different quarterback, etc. Because it's possible. He's got a lot of talent. He can really fly. He's got excellent route running ability. For his size, he's got tremendous, you know, catch radius. We've seen some of it here and there. But they didn't want it. So, Seth, I think they did pretty well. I think, you know, if they knew it at the time of the draft and there was an opportunity to include him in a trade to the 49ers with, say, a, you know, third round pick or a second round pick to get Ayuk, then I would suggest that they whiffed badly on that. But I don't think, and I have no information that would lead me to believe that that trade was available. So anyway, and who's to say the 49ers really wanted him, or anybody else really wanted him? There were people interested in trading for him now, but nobody was probably willing to match what Philly gave up, which was essentially the net of, you know, a net of a third round pick. So look, I think we look at the receiver room right now and we say, it's not good enough. You know, it's not good enough for a young quarterback. You got to give him more than just De'Ami Brown and Olamide Zaccheaus and potentially Luke McCaffrey and somebody else in his first season, because they can take Terry out. Good defenses, good defensive coordinators can take Terry out of the equation. So I've thought about this a little bit from the end of the show yesterday, and we talked a lot about it yesterday on the show, but I think a couple of things that are in play here. Number one, they may not be done yet. That's number one. And that doesn't mean big name, T. Higgins, Brandon Ayuk, Amari Cooper. Cooper, by the way, would not be the move at 30 years old. You know, if you are going to make a big trade for a wide receiver, you're going to do it with the idea that this receiver is just entering his prime and that this year isn't the year necessarily you're going to contend with that receiver and quarterback, but perhaps next year or the year after. And you want that player still in their mid to late 20s at that point, not in their, you know, early to mid 30s. At this point. But they may not be done, number one. And that also could include on Tuesday receivers that they think will be available and that they'll have second bids on based on the waiver wire order. They have the second choice to claim a player off waivers. It's also possible that they really like their wide receiver room. Do you know what Houston's wide receiver room was ranked last year by Pro Football Focus before the season began? It was ranked, Denton, 32nd in the league. 32nd. You know how many catches Nico Collins had before last year where he caught 80 balls for 1,297 yards and 8 touchdowns and averaged 16.2 yards per reception? He had not caught more than 37 balls in a season. Tank Dell wasn't on the roster last year. Their wide receiver room was ranked 32nd by Pro Football Focus going into the 2023 season. You just don't know, especially when the quarterback changes and the coordinator and the scheme change. Maybe they love their wide receiver room right now. And we're about to get De'Ami Brown at his best because he totally fits the scheme. And they've been, you know, playing it kind of low on Luke McCaffrey because they absolutely love him and he's going to be a big part of the season opener. And Zaccheaus is a guy that blocks and digs out safeties, as Jay Gruden would say, and is high IQ. And oh, by the way, Kaz Allen plays like, you know, one of the true stars in the NFL. I won't tell you who that is if you haven't heard what Cliff Kingsbury said, but we'll play that for you coming up here in the first hour of the show. So it's very possible they like their wide receiver room, and they might be looking to add something next week. Maybe they're not. It's also possible that the attack that they're planning here in the first year will include a lot of two tight ends and two running backs. You know, there maybe even three tight ends. You might see Ertz, Sinnott, and Bates all on the field at the same time. Now, I would just suggest that when you've seen Baltimore and San Francisco and other teams go heavy, especially Baltimore with a dual threat quarterback, that those teams have fullbacks. Washington does not have a fullback on its roster. So now it could be that Bates lines up as a fullback or Sinnott lines up as an H-back or something like that. But it's very possible that some of what they'll end up running doesn't require a lot of wide receivers. And that's a big part of the plan this year. Is they've got a quarterback and dual threat running attack is going to be a big part of what they do. I would think that that's probably not the case, that we're not going to see pistol right from the jump and three tight ends and one wide receiver and or two tight ends, two backs. Because typically, again, if you're going to go that way, you're going to have a fullback. You know, remember, even, you know, going back to 2012, you know, Washington had Washington had a fullback on the roster in 2012. They had Darrell Young, who was a part of what they were running and the Shanahans were running with RG3 in his rookie year. And there's no fullback on this roster, so that would be more of a hint of what they're going to try to do in the running game. But they may see Bates as that guy. So it's possible that they may like their room, and they may have a different offensive scheme that doesn't require a lot of receivers. And, you know, this isn't something that's that big of a deal to them, that they're not sweating it. They've been looking to do this for a while, and they finally got a deal. It's also more likely than not, Seth, based on your email, that they were hoping it would work out with Jahan, that he's got a lot of talent, that they watched him on tape, and they were hoping that they could get it to work. One other quick thing, because I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and he said, had you heard anything about Dotson being an issue with the last staff? The answer to that is no. And I'd be surprised if anybody heard anything to that degree. I'm not suggesting that it's wrong or that it wasn't the case, but there really wasn't much about Jahan in general. And last year, let's not, you know, kid ourselves. It was dysfunctional for all of the receivers. I don't think Terry was very happy with what was happening last year. I don't think Jahan was very happy. I don't think anybody wanted to rerun that from last year. You know, you ask those guys, Curtis Samuel, Jahan Dotson, Terry McLaurin, Diami, about whether or not they would have wanted to run it back with EB this year. Inject him with truth serum, that answer would have been a quick absolutely not. And so it's hard to kind of judge last year's Jahan, but no, it really didn't. I would also say I would bet you any amount of money that Terry McLaurin was consultant on this. When I say consultant, he was asked about this, and I have no idea what the answer was, but given that they traded Jahan, you know, it probably wasn't, well, we desperately need him. I'm looking forward to this. I do have a lot of benefit of the doubt right now. There's no reason for me not to have it when it comes to Adam Peters and Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury. They're the pros. They've been the ones that have been dealing with all of these guys in the meeting rooms, in practices. You know, we've heard for a while now, you know, subtle, but reading between the lines, they want hustle. They want relentless, motored guys. They want guys that are going to, you know, once the ball is caught, be looking to take somebody out to create an even bigger play with yards after catch. And it was pretty clear that they didn't feel that Jahan fit in to that kind of a wide receiver room. By the way, the other part of this, too, is just from the Philadelphia angle. In addition to the idea that, you know, I wonder if anybody in Philly media or Philly in the Philly fan base is saying, okay, we got our third wide receiver, but why would a team in our division deal him to us? Why would they do that? Same thing that some of us said the night of the Donovan McNabb trade, Easter Sunday 2010. Why would Andy Reid trade Donovan McNabb to a team that he's got to face twice a year and that he's got to compete for a division? Well, the answer was because he clearly thought Donovan was done, which he was. It's the only time, by the way, I think I've told this story before. It's the only time I got in trouble for being critical of the team. And I say I got in trouble. It's the only time I got a call from basically the big guy. I didn't get it directly, but I got it from our CEO at the time, who called me at home Easter Sunday night 2010 after I was asked to go on ESPN News Denton to comment on the trade. And I said on the air, look, it seems like there are a lot of our fans that are very excited, but I wonder why the hell Andy Reid would trade Donovan McNabb to a team in the division. To me, this has red flags all over it. And I was called at home Easter night to find out what I had said and why I had said it. It's the only time. You know, we got accused all the time of, oh, you can't be critical. We were so critical, most of know that. You know, they're not going to allow it. It's, you know, teams owned by Red Zebra, which Snyder is the majority shareholder of. That was the only time. That and the time that Jake, as in Joe Jacoby, you know, was overserved during one of our post-game shows and went off on Snyder at the end of our post-game show. That was interesting. He didn't get a call from Dan, but he did get a call from Joe Gibbs telling him he had to apologize. All right. Cliff Kingsbury yesterday was really, he didn't give you a lot on Jahan. There are a couple of subtle answers where you can kind of understand what it was with Jahan in the same way you could with Quinn. But man, he said something about Kaz Allen that you have to hear. That's next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to defer most of those questions to AP and DQ. Had a great experience with him. He's a great kid, and I wish him well. I'm excited about some of the other guys' progress and where that room's headed.
Cliff Kingsbury yesterday on the trading of Jahan Dotson. He didn't give you anything on him except for when he was asked about the most important traits that this wide receiver group needs to have. This is what he said on that.
DQ style of play, they want to be physical and play hard without the ball. I think that's what we preach, is like everybody's going to run routes and make catches at this level, but how do you play without the ball? And you look at some of the top teams in the league, or it's the Chiefs or the 49ers, when they transition a block, when their teammates have the football, I mean, that's kind of the secret sauce that takes you to the next level. And we've been preaching that, and those guys have done a good job responding.
You know, secret sauce has been a phrase used a lot by all of these coaches. You know, it's clearly a Dan Quinn, phrase that he uses. And they've all kind of adopted it and used it at times, including Adam Peters and Joe Witt Jr. But the one thing that we've been promised more than anything else from day one, from Adam Peters and from Dan Quinn, and you just heard Cliff Kingsbury refer to it again. They want a team that grinds, hustles, competes, plays with high energy, high motor. Think of, and we've talked about this before, but think of the San Francisco 49ers. the way they play. Everybody that they bring onto that team is high energy, high motor. It's the way Frankie Luvu plays. It's the way Jeremy Chinn plays. It's the way they want to build this organization. They want a physical, fast football team that competes hard. When you think of the 49ers and you think of guys like Debo and you think of guys like Jennings and you think of McCaffrey and you think of Warner and you think of all of the way their players play, that's what they want. You know, it's not like they're the only team that's looking for that. But even the Cowboys, to a certain extent defensively, played fast. And this is what they've promised, that even, you know, and Quinn said it to me the other day, at the end of the day, what you guys are going to get from us is you're going to get a team and a group of people that we've put together here that compete hard, that play fast and play physical football. And I think this answer from Kingsbury also tells you why Jahan Dotson isn't here. His style of play, physical, playing hard without the ball, preaching that everybody's going to run routes and make catches at this level, but how do you play without the ball? You know, that was an answer that Quinn gave to a question that Nikki asked last week about Jahan and said, I want to see what he's doing when the ball's not coming to him, when the ball is elsewhere. And that was a clear indication of what the issue was. The issue was they want scrappy, they want hustlers, and he didn't fit that. I thought that was another answer that just indicates why Jahan Dotson isn't here. Look, it may not turn out to be right. Maybe Jahan learns from this and becomes the scrappy, hustling player in Philadelphia. But he wasn't that here. All right. There's something that Cliff Kingsbury said about Kaz Allen. I'm going to play that for you in a few minutes. But I actually thought for Kingsbury, we got a little bit more than we usually get yesterday. And I wanted to play a couple of things. First of all, you know, the running back room, I think actually the combination of Robinson Jr. and Eckler has been a little bit underrated by people. We've seen, although I think in that one positional unit, they ranked 13th, which, again, to me makes sense based on, you know, what you think of teams and their running back rooms heading into the season. But he was asked a couple of questions about running backs and Brian Robinson Jr. in particular. This first one, he's just asked specifically about what he has in his running back room.
Austin Eckler has been fantastic. I think there's a narrative out there that maybe he lost a step or something was off, and that's couldn't be farther from the truth from what I've seen from him and his ability, whether it's in pass game or run game, to create separation and make plays. And then B-Rob, he's a number one back in this league, there's no doubt. I mean, I think after this season, if he stays healthy, people will recognize what he can do in the run game and the pass game. And some of those young guys are coming on. And then to have Coach Lynn coaching that room, working with those guys, who's been a head coach, who's been an offensive coordinator, it's been fantastic to watch that group grow.
I think the top two, if he's right, that Eckler hasn't lost a step, you know, that was the narrative last year, and that he is the Eckler that we've seen from the past, you know, certainly Chargers, vintage Chargers the last few years. Let's face it, Austin Eckler's been a dynamic, versatile running back in this league. You know, he was not thought of much coming out of Western State University back in 2017. But he had, you know, multiple seasons of near 1,000 yards rushing. He's had multiple seasons of 90 catches or more, 107 receptions in 2022, the same season that he rushed for 915 yards. I mean, he had 18 touchdowns in 2022. If you get that Austin Eckler, wow. And then Brian Robinson Jr., this is where I think they're really excited about what he can become. And you heard him in that answer said he's a number one back in this league. There's no doubt. He's, after this season, if he stays healthy, people will recognize what he can do in the run game and in the pass game. And that, in many ways, may be the strength of their offense along with the quarterback. Robinson Jr., Eckler, and Daniels. And Terry, of course. But in terms of the other weapons, we've been focused a lot, especially over the last 24 hours, or nearly 24 hours, on the wide receiver group. Maybe we should be focusing much more on the running backs and, I think, the tight ends. He was asked another question about Brian Robinson Jr. and his physical runs that they've seen in the preseason so far. Here's what Cliff Kingsbury said.
Yeah, it's similar to having a quarterback that can extend the play and get into that second phase. It doesn't have to be blocked perfectly for him to finish downhill, and that's huge. And he takes a lot of pride in that, and he's a physical runner. And so, yeah, I've been very impressed with his style of play and the way he's handled everything thus far.
You know, I can envision a season this year in which, you know, not that it isn't the case in a lot of NFL games, but the opposing defense is going to have to stop the run if they're going to stop this offense, because the run will include the quarterback as part of it, and it will include two totally different style of runners in Brian Robinson Jr. and Austin Ekeler. It could also include somebody like Kaz Allen, which I will get to here in a moment. But I like what they have in their backfield. I certainly like what they have at quarterback in terms of, I mean, I like everything about Daniels, but in terms of what we think we know will work early on would be the utilization of his legs in a dual threat way. I don't think that's what they have to do every play. I don't think that needs to be 50% of the offense. But as long as it's 20% of the offense in terms of, you know, presenting him as a run threat, it's going to make everything better. And when your backs are good backs, yes. And of course, everything up front has to work too. I understand that. So, Kaz Allen. How long have we been talking about Kaz Allen? Going back to last year, I had him on the show because I had somebody tell me they love Kaz Allen. This guy could definitely be on the roster and be a punt returner or kick returner, but he didn't make the roster last year. Remember, he, you know, was on the practice squad and he was called back at one point. You know, this is a guy that out in California in high school as a senior, he had 72 total touchdowns. That's a high school single season touchdown record, not in California, nationally. He had 62 rushing touchdowns in 2017 as a senior in high school. He had 9 pass reception touchdowns, and he had a kickoff return for a touchdown. Overall, in his entire high school career, this dude rushed for 6,276 yards, had 1,603 receiving yards, and 121 touchdowns. He also, in 2018, won the 100-meter dash in California with a time of 10.44. Played at UCLA, was effective as a UCLA player, and then was signed as an undrafted free agent in May of 2023 by Washington. He was waived with the cut-down date last year from 90 to 53, but then he was re-signed to the practice squad, and then this group re-signed him again to the team in February of 2024 after they took over. It's very obvious that Kaz Allen, and we've been talking about this throughout camp, we talked about it at first when Dan Quinn brought his name up unsolicited in a conversation during OTAs or minicamp. I forget when it was. They had him in week one of the preseason lined up as a wide receiver. They ran a reverse with him. Last week, they had him in as a running back. He had 3 carries, but he had a devastating fumble. And I mentioned on Monday, it wasn't a fumble in which it was a great defensive play. You know, it wasn't a violent strip of the football or a big-time hit. It was a bad fumble. He put it on the ground without much, you know, effort from the defense. And they were giving him all these looks at running back, and they were putting him back on punts and putting him back on kicks because I think they want him on this roster. You know, but they want justification for what they feel he's capable of doing with something in a game. You know, when you return a kick in preseason or a punt in preseason for a touchdown or for a long, long return, it's like, whoa, okay, he did it in the game. It doesn't matter that it's preseason. You can see the ability. You can see the speed. You can see the shiftiness. You can see the vision, et cetera, et cetera. They want him on this team. Sunday night may be the determining factor as to whether or not they keep him. But I don't know. I have a feeling they're going to keep him regardless, because this is what Cliff Kingsbury said about Kaz Allen working with the running backs.
He's done good. I mean, he's an explosive player in high school. I think he set the California record, a national record for touchdowns as a running back. So he's a guy that we could see, you know, similar. I'm not comparing, you know, but Debo type role to move him around, do different things, because he has that type of explosiveness and ability to play in the slot, or you can hand it to him.
He compared him, whether he meant to or not. He said, I'm not comparing. But then he brought up Debo Samuel's name. I actually thought it was a fascinating comparison, because one of the players is much more of a finesse player in Kaz Allen. And one player is truly a dog, a physical, you know, blocking, running physically, looking for contact, seeking out contact. I think Debo Samuel's one of the best players in football. Where was he on that top 100 list this year? Probably not as high as he was last year, I'm guessing, Denton. Debo Samuel is also 6'215". Kaz Allen, what is Kaz Allen? 5'7", 5'8", 185 pounds, something like that. But I think, to be fair, in terms of his answer, he was comparing him with respect to the versatility. You know, being able to line him up in the backfield, being able to line him up at wide receiver, being able to line him up in the slot, you know, where you can hand the ball off to him, which was really what they did in that Jet game. You know, it wasn't a true wide receiver reverse. It was a slot receiver reverse. And they wanted to see him with the ball. By the way, that's the most impressive run and the most impressive play for him in the preseason. It was called back due to a penalty, but he had a 10-yard run, and you could see the explosiveness. I think, here's my gut on returners. I think it's going to be Jamison Crowder as the punt returner. But I think they want Kaz Allen on this team as a kickoff returner, along with probably a Pringle, as an example. And they would count him as a running back so that they could still keep six wide receivers or seven wide receivers or whatever it becomes, you know, at the wide receiver group. I mean, it's now we're down to Terry. What are we down to? Terry, Deami, Zacchaeus. We have McCaffrey for sure. That's four. We have Crowder. That's five if he ends up being the lead punt returner. And after that, now, it might be a guy like Pringle, because they love him on kickoff returns. That would be six. And then you keep Kaz Allen as maybe a third running back? I don't know. I think Wiley's a possibility. I think Rodriguez is in trouble. Anyway, I wanted you to hear what Cliff Kingsbury said about Kaz Allen. It's been clear for a while now that they like themselves some Kaz Allen. No doubt. He's a guy they really want to stick. I wonder if it comes down to Sunday night, if it comes down to him getting a couple of big runs as a running back. Maybe they run a reverse to him from the slot, and then they give him every punt return and every kickoff return that they have in the game. Lastly, there was something else that Kingsbury said that I wanted you to hear. He was asked about, and he was pretty blunt here, he was asked about how much of his offense he's run so far in the two preseason games. Here's what he said.
Not much. Like, big on base concepts and running the same stuff kind of over and over and allowing those guys to see if they can defeat different coverages and win one-on-one matchups, and that to me is about evaluation. You know, we get the first group, we'll do a couple things to try and get them going, and then, you know, we're trying to get evals in a lot of these guys.
So there you go. I mean, he just told you what the preseason's about. It's about individual evaluations. It's about, you know, can they beat, you know, man coverage? Can they beat, you know, how do they do in one-on-one matchups? You know, big on base concepts and running the same stuff over and over again. And that's what we've seen in the first two games. The only thing that, you know, I thought was interesting about the first two preseason games is he clearly showed that his preference is to go no huddle and to go with some pace. And maybe most defensive coordinators, Todd Bowles, et cetera, who will see him first, understood that about him anyway. And would plan for that anyway, even if he hadn't shown it. And with respect to things like dual threat and using Daniels in the run game, that's pretty obvious anyway. I mean, I don't think anybody planning for Washington, if they hadn't seen Jaden Daniels in any of the preseason action, I don't think they would have thought to themselves, well, we don't really have to plan for him as a runner in the run game. Of course they would have. But you don't get anything in the preseason except for individual evaluations. Dan Quinn told me yesterday on the show, if you missed that, you can go back to theteam980.com and listen to the head coach on the show yesterday. It's in the first hour of the show. You know, Quinn said that there are, you know, roughly seven or so, you know, 5 to 7 spots up for grabs. But he said the real up for grabs is who ends up being the contributors, you know. And he said it takes a quarter to half the season, essentially, to figure out what you have. So this will be a work in progress, there's no doubt. With that said, I think for me, it's the most excited I've been about a season opener in a long time. Long time. Cannot wait to see what they roll out on offense in particular in the opener against a well-coached defensive team and a talented defensive team. It's a good first test, really good first test in the opener against Vita Vea, Levante David, Jordan Whitehead, Antoine Winfield Jr. You know, they've got some players, and we know what Todd Bowles can do as just a pure defensive mind and game planner. He's good at that. Got that team to the playoffs last year as a head coach. I was happy for Todd Bowles. Always liked Todd Bowles. Still can't figure out why the hell he tapped out in the Detroit game, in the playoff game. That was inexcusable. But he certainly can coach up defense. All right, we'll do some Denton news when we come back. At 11, Eric Flack from WUSA TV 9 will join us. He was going to join us yesterday, but the Jahan Dotson news broke during the show. So Eric Flack will be with us to tell us about what the city spent over $500,000 on with respect to the planning for the RFK site. That's at 11. Ben Standing at noon. Denton will give us a college football segment. The season opens tomorrow in Dublin at high noon Eastern. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app. This segment of the show is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Let's get to some Denton news.
Hitting the news you might have missed. It's Denton's Daily News.
All right, let's start with a little bit of Nationals. They get in the win column again. It's 2 in a row against the Rockies, 8-3. Patrick Corbin, great day for him. 6 innings, 1 run on 4 hits, and he struck out 8. This is like old Patrick Corbin. James Wood went 1-3 with 2 RBI and a stolen base. They're back on the road today against Atlanta at 7:20, and they'll be there this weekend as well.
Yeah, and then the Yankees are here next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. The Yankees come into town. Yeah, look, it was back-to-back solid starting pitching performances. Corbin yesterday afternoon and Mitchell Parker with an outstanding performance on Wednesday night. Colorado is terrible. So are the Nats right now. Really, baseball's heating up, man. This race in the American East is going to be great over the next month between the Yankees and the Orioles. You've got 3 teams in the mix in the AL Central. Houston's really been the team that's just put the pedal to the metal, and they crushed the Orioles last night. By the way, that game was on national TV. Did you notice that? It was on Fox last night. Houston shut out the Orioles 6-0, but they've pulled away a little bit from the Mariners. But then you've got really good races in the National League West, and look out, Philadelphia Phillies, here come the Atlanta Braves. They've won four out of their last five, I think seven out of their last 10, and they're only six back of the Phillies now, who looked like they were going to pull away in July and perhaps end up with the best record in baseball. They've really struggled recently, except against the Nationals, where they took 3 of 4. Some good baseball the rest of the way. I know it for us, it's really, you know, football heavy, especially as we get into this time of the year. But I love baseball in September and October.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the Astros and the Mariners, because look at us. We got two baseball stories today. The Mariners fired Scott Servais. He was their manager. They led the AL West for what felt like the first 3-4 months of the season. We all kind of knew that's not going to stay long.
They had a 10-game lead in the division.
Everyone knew Houston was still going to come back.
Yeah.
Everyone knew, and they have. So now the Mariners are 5.5 games back of the Astros for the AL West. They're even further back in the wild card at 7.5, and now their manager is gone. Maybe they're hoping for the old, we're going to fire him to motivate our team kind of a deal, but it looks like their quest for the postseason's over.
Yeah. Long way to go. You know, we'll see what happens, but Houston just...
They're so good.
Too much talent.
Yeah. I'm not expecting deep breakdown of the Mariners, by the way. It's just weird that they fired
them. I can't do a big breakdown of the Mariners. The only thing I can mention, because I think we've mentioned it before, is how Victor Robles has turned into a completely different player in Seattle. You know, he's hitting 280. His OPS is the highest of his career. And he's played great for them since being traded to... Since heading to Seattle. So
he's become the guy that we hoped that he was going to be.
Yeah.
All right, on to football. Here's the story that everybody wants to know. We haven't talked about it, but everybody wants to know. We got a preseason game this weekend. It's going to be Jacoby Brissett starting for the Patriots. They're in a little bit of a battle right now between Jacoby Brissett and Drake May, but Jacoby Brissett, the Commanders legend, going to get the start this weekend against what is presumably going to be a lot of second and third teamers for Washington.
I didn't see that. I mean, we talked about how Gerard Mayo said that the competition at quarterback is not over yet.
Yeah.
Even though they named Jacoby Brissett the starter before camp opened, Brissett hasn't played yet in the preseason, correct?
I do not believe so. So this is the first look.
Are we sure about that? I'm going back to look it up. Has he played at all?
I haven't watched any Patriots.
No, he has played.
Games.
He was 0-for-3 in the opener against Carolina for 0 yards. That happens when you don't complete a pass. And then against the Eagles last week, he was 3-for-7, 17 yards, and an interception. So we're going to see Brissett first and then Drake May. There's your drama. The things to watch for Sunday night, first of all, it's a nationally televised game, whatever. And you'll get a good call. You will from Tirico.
It should be Tirico,
Collinsworth.
Right?
I
love me some Mike Tirico. I'm excited for that.
Tirico is the best. He's just so good. We'll get Brissett and then May. So a quarterback battle for the Patriots. The drama in Washington is going to be, I'm telling you, about the return game and Cade York. How does he kick? Because if he goes out and shanks two kicks, then you don't have to give up that seventh-round pick. You got two additional sevenths yesterday for Dotson after giving up a conditional seventh to the Browns for Cade York. So, you know, I still think what you're going to have next week, if Cade York kicks well, he'll make the 53. But then here's the thing that's interesting, Denton. So you have to – when you sign a player off waivers – that player is not signed to your practice squad. That player is signed to your 53-man roster. Mm-hmm. So I think what you'll see is Washington not necessarily sign kickers off the waiver wire. If Cade York kicks well, they'll sign kickers to their practice squad. And I say kickers, it could be an additional kicker or two to the much bigger now practice squads that were implemented once we got to a 17-game schedule. So it'll be fluid all week next week. You know, it, unless York, you know, goes out and he's 3 for 3 with two kicks of 50-plus yards, that might ice it for the opener anyway. But I think this will be, from a kicker standpoint, a very fluid situation through the first part of the season until they find one that they're super confident in. And remember, also, what we don't know yet is how important, I mean, we're expecting it to be very important when it comes to the kickoff ability and the skill of kicking off with the new rules, because there will be some skill involved. But you're going to have to be good at that too. But let's just hope we're not in a, you know, a Blewett, Brian Johnson, you know, Joey Sly, you know, Nick Rose. You want to go way back to James Tuthill, or Michael Husted? We don't know. Scott Bentley. I need to pull up the list of kickers. I'm going to do that right now because, God, there have been as many kickers as there have been quarterbacks, doesn't it seem like, since Rippon was here, since Chipolo Miller left?
Yeah, you say John Hall in there? What about Nick Novak?
Since Chipolo Miller, okay, since Chipolo Miller, the franchise has had 25 kickers kick in an NFL game.
Jeez.
Now, I think I mentioned this yesterday. Dustin Hopkins kicked in 93 games. It's third all-time behind Mosley, who kicked in 182 games, and Chipolo Miller, who kicked in 112 games. But Hopkins is third franchise history with 93 games under his belt. And by the way, an 84% field goal percentage mark, which crushes Lo Miller and Mosley. But again, that was different back then. You know, field goal percentages because of field conditions, because every game was outdoors, et cetera, just much different than it is today. But yeah, 25 kickers since Lo Miller left in 94. Jackie, Akers was the big whiff. Blanchard, Blanton, Heppner, Husted, Bentley, Eddie Murray. Oh, God, he was like 48 years old when he kicked for us. One of my favorite stories was that 2000 season at the end of it, and they're playing the Giants at home. And Norv is so desperate, he says, get out there and kick a 47-yarder. And Eddie Murray says, I can't get it 47 yards. I can't kick it in this direction 47. You got to go for it. He says, do your best. And it was about 3 yards short. And I think he got fired that next Monday. Cortez, Tuthill, Conway. Conway kicked for a couple of years. Chandler, Kimron, Novak was a pretty decent kicker for a brief period of time here. John Hall kicked in 39 games. Sean Sweezum kicked in 49 games. Graham Gano, 36 games. Cundiff, oh, Cundiff. Potter, I don't remember John Potter. I'm not going to lie to you. I have no recollection of John Potter, who kicked in 2013. That's the first name that I've just read that I don't know who. It must have been at the end of that dreadful 2013 season. Kai Forbath kicked here for 4 seasons. Nick Rose, Chris Blewett, Brian Johnson, Dustin Hopkins, and Joey Sly kicked in 40 games. I talked about this, but Joey Sly and Chad Ryland, that's another New England battle, and they'll see Sly and Ryland up close on Sunday night. One of those guys is going to get released. And the word out of New England is it might be Sly. It might be Ryland, who Bill Belichick picked in the 4th round. You know, we've talked a lot about Ron Rivera's drafts, you know, clearly for good reason. They've been terrible at the top. There are a lot of teams that have drafted poorly, you know, in NFL history. Let me just say and start with our team. During a stretch, and I went and looked this up yesterday, during a stretch from 1992 on, the first round picks, and this is with Charlie Casserly and Gibbs for part of it, and then Norv Turner. And by the way, not all these picks were on Casserly because the head coaches had some input, lots of input in the case of Norv. But in order, Desmond Howard, Tom Carter, Heath Shuler, Michael Westbrook, Andre Johnson, Kennard Lang. I mean, that's 6 straight years of basically not finding a legitimately great player with your first-round pick. the Patriots under Belichick over the last 10 to 12 years, horrible in the draft. The Raiders, horrible in the draft. Rivera's 0-for-4 stretch is bad in first-round picks. I'm not disputing that. But don't think that it stands alone. It doesn't. What else you got? You want to hold off the rest for later?
Yeah, let's hold it for later.
Because I do want, I know you put this Kirk Herbstreit thing into your news, what he said last night about Joe Flacco and Anthony Richardson in Indianapolis. We should talk about that. I happened to be watching the game. I was flipping it around, and I saw Richardson's terrible pick six. Eric Flack from WUSA Channel 9 will join us next. There was a big story 2 days ago with respect to the RFK site that I think a lot of us glossed over because there was a lot of news related to the football team on the field. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are free and live on the Odyssey app as well.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Let's get to some Denton news.
Hitting the news you might have missed. It's Denton's Daily News.
All right, let's start with a little bit of Nationals. They get in the win column again. It's 2 in a row against the Rockies, 8-3. Patrick Corbin, great day for him. 6 innings, 1 run on 4 hits, and he struck out 8. This is like old Patrick Corbin. James Wood went 1-3 with 2 RBI and a stolen base. They're back on the road today against Atlanta at 7:20, and they'll be there this weekend as well.
Yeah, and then the Yankees are here next week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the Yankees come into town. Yeah, look, it was back-to-back solid starting pitching performances. Corbin yesterday afternoon and Mitchell Parker with an outstanding performance on Wednesday night. Colorado is terrible. So are the Nats right now. Really, baseball's heating up, man. This race in the American League East is going to be great over the next month between the Yankees and the Orioles. You've got 3 teams in the mix in the AL Central. Houston's really been the team that's just put the pedal to the metal, and they crushed the Orioles last night. By the way, that game was on national TV. Did you notice that? It was on Fox last night. Houston shut out the Orioles 6-0, but they've pulled away a little bit from the Mariners. But then you've got really good races in the National League West, and look out Philadelphia Phillies. Here come the Atlanta Braves. They've won four out of their last five, I think seven out of their last 10, and they're only six back of the Phillies now, who looked like they were going to pull away in July and perhaps end up with the best record in baseball. They've really struggled recently, except against the Nationals, where they took 3 of 4. Some good baseball the rest of the way. I know it for us, it's really, you know, football heavy, especially as we get into this time of the year. But I love baseball in September and October.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the Astros and the Mariners, because look at us. We got two baseball stories today. The Mariners fired Scott Servais. He was their manager. They led the AL West for what felt like the first 3-4 months of the season. We all kind of knew that's not going to stay long.
They had a 10-game lead
in
the division.
Everyone knew Houston was still going to come back.
Yeah.
Everyone knew, and they have. So now the Mariners are 5.5 games back of the Astros for the AL West. They're even further back in the wild card at 7.5, and now their manager is gone. Maybe they're hoping for the old, we're going to fire him to motivate our team kind of a deal, but it looks like their quest for the postseason's over.
Yeah. Long way to go. You know, we'll see what happens, but Houston just—they're
so good.
Too much talent.
Yeah, I'm not expecting deep breakdown of the Mariners. By the way, it's just weird that they.
Well,
I
can't do a big breakdown of the Mariners. The only thing I can mention, because I think we've mentioned it before, is how Victor Robles has turned into a completely different player in Seattle. You know, he's hitting 280. His OPS is the highest of his career. And he's played great for them since heading to Seattle. So
he's
good
become
for
the
him.
Guy that
found
we
the place.
Hoped that he was going to be.
Yeah.
All right, on the football, here's the story that everybody wants to know. We haven't talked about it, but everybody wants to know. We got a preseason game this weekend. It's going to be Jacoby Brissett starting for the Patriots. They're in a little bit of a battle right now between Jacoby Brissett and Drake May, but Jacoby Brissett, the Commanders legend, going to get the start this weekend against what is presumably going to be a lot of second and third teamers for Washington.
I didn't see that. I mean, we talked about how Gerard Mayo said that the competition at quarterback is not over yet.
Yeah.
Even though they named Jacoby Brissett the starter before camp opened, Brissett hasn't played yet in the preseason, correct?
I do not believe so. So this is the first look.
Are we sure about that? I'm going back to look it up. Has he played at all?
I haven't watched any Patriots.
No, he has played.
Games.
He was 0-for-3 in the opener against Carolina for 0 yards. That happens when you don't complete a pass. And then against the Eagles last week, he was 3-for-7, 17 yards, and an interception. So we're going to see Brissett first and then Drake May. There's your drama. The things to watch for Sunday night, first of all, it's a nationally televised game, whatever. And you'll get a good call, you will, from Tirico.
It should be Tirico,
Collinsworth.
Right? I love me some Mike Tirico. I'm excited for that.
Tirico's the best. He's so good. We'll get Brissett and then May. So a quarterback battle for the Patriots. The drama in Washington is going to be, I'm telling you, about the return game. And Cade York. How does he kick? Because if he goes out and shanks two kicks, then you don't have to give up that seventh-round pick. You got two additional sevenths yesterday for Dotson after giving up a conditional seventh to the Browns for Cade York. So, you know, I still think what you're going to have next week, if Cade York kicks well, he'll make the 53. But then here's the thing that's interesting, Denton. So you have to, when you sign a player off waivers, that player is not signed to your practice squad. That player is signed to your 53-man roster. Mm-hmm. So I think what you'll see is Washington not necessarily sign kickers off the waiver wire. If Cade York kicks well, they'll sign kickers to their practice squad. And I say kickers, it could be an additional kicker or two to the much bigger now practice squads that were implemented once we got to a 17-game schedule. So it'll be fluid all week next week. You know, unless York, you know, goes out and he's 3-for-3 with two kicks of 50-plus yards, that might ice it for the opener anyway. But I think this will be, from a kicker standpoint, a very fluid situation through the first part of the season until they find one that they're super confident in. And remember, also, what we don't know yet is how important, I mean, we're expecting it to be very important when it comes to the kickoff ability and the skill of kicking off with the new rules, because there will be some skill involved. But you're going to have to be good at that too. But let's just hope we're not in a, you know, a Blewett, Brian Johnson, you know, Joey Sly, you know, Nick Rose. You want to go way back to James Tuthill or Michael Husted? We don't know. Scott Bentley. I need to pull up the list of kickers. I'm going to do that right now because, God, there have been as many kickers as there have been quarterbacks, doesn't it seem like, since Rippon was here, since Chipolo Miller left?
Yeah, you say John Holland there. What about Nick Novak?
Since Chipolo Miller, okay, since Chipolo Miller, the franchise has had 25 kickers kick in an NFL game.
Jeez.
Now, I think I mentioned this yesterday. Dustin Hopkins kicked in 93 games. It's third all-time behind Mosley, who kicked in 182 games, and Chipolo Miller, who kicked in 112 games. But Hopkins is third franchise history with 93 games under his belt. And by the way, an 84% field goal percentage mark, which crushes Low Miller and Mosley. But again, that was different back then. You know, field goal percentages because of field conditions, because every game was outdoors, et cetera, just much different than it is today. But yeah, 25 kickers since Low Miller left in 94. Jackie, Akers was the big whiff. Blanchard, Blanton, Heppner, Husted, Bentley, Eddie Murray. Oh, God, he was like 48 years old when he kicked for us. One of my favorite stories was that 2000 season at the end of it, and they're playing the Giants at home. And Norv is so desperate, he says, get out there and kick a 47-yarder. And Eddie Murray says, I can't get it 47 yards. I can't kick it in this direction 47. You got to go for it. He says, do your best. And it was about 3 yards short. And I think he got fired that next Monday. Cortez, Tuthill, Conway. Conway kicked for a couple of years. Chandler, Kimron, Novak was a pretty decent kicker for a brief period of time here. John Hall kicked in 39 games. Sean Sweezum kicked in 49 games. Graham Gano, 36 games. Cundiff, oh, Cundiff. Potter, I don't remember John Potter. I'm not going to lie to you. I have no recollection of John Potter, who kicked in 2013. That's the first name that I've just read that I don't know who. It must have been at the end of that dreadful 2013 season. Kai Forbath kicked here for four seasons. Nick Rose, Chris Blewett, Brian Johnson, Dustin Hopkins, and Joey Sly kicked in 40 games. I talked about this, but Joey Sly and Chad Ryland, that's another New England battle, and they'll see Sly and Ryland up close on Sunday night. One of those guys is going to get released. And the word out of New England is it might be Sly. It might be Ryland, who Bill Belichick picked in the fourth round. You know, we've talked a lot about Ron Rivera's drafts, you know, clearly for good reason. They've been terrible at the top. There are a lot of teams that have drafted poorly, you know, in NFL history. Let me just say and start with our team. During a stretch, and I went and looked this up yesterday, during a stretch from 1992 on, the first round picks, and this is with Charlie Casserly and Gibbs for part of it, and then Norv Turner. And by the way, not all these picks were on Casserly because the head coaches had some input, lots of input in the case of Norv. But in order, Desmond Howard, Tom Carter, Heath Shuler, Michael Westbrook, Andre Johnson, Kennard Lang. I mean, that's six straight years of basically not finding a legitimately great player with your first-round pick. The Patriots, under Belichick over the last 10 to 12 years, horrible in the draft. The Raiders, horrible in the draft. Rivera's 0-for-4 stretch is bad in first-round picks. I'm not disputing that. But don't think that it stands alone. It doesn't. What else you got? You want to hold off the rest for later?
Yeah, let's hold it for later.
Because I do want, I know you put this Kirk Herbstreit thing into your news, what he said last night about Joe Flacco and Anthony Richardson in Indianapolis. We should talk about that. I happened to be watching the game. I was flipping it around, and I saw Richardson's terrible pick six. Eric Flack from WUSA Channel 9 will join us next. There was a big story 2 days ago with respect to the RFK site that I think a lot of us glossed over because there was a lot of news related to the football team on the field. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are free and live on the Odyssey app as well.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey. See ya.